This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:45 right now, you're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Melissa Idris with Sharad Kutan and Ibrahim Sani this morning. Julian Ng is busy preparing for the breakfast grill, which is coming up in 20 minutes. He will be speaking to none other than Christoph Mueller, the CEO of Malaysia Airlines Berhad. Now, in a surprise announcement, Christoph Mueller announced that he will be stepping down in September, and that's midway through his three-year contract. What will this mean for Malaysia Airlines and its turnaround plan, since he is, in fact, the man tasked to do so? And who will succeed him now in bringing the airline forward?
You know, if you Google Christoph Mueller, you'll be hard-pressed to find anyone saying negative things about him, because I think people are starting to rally behind him because of his transformation plans and so on. So I guess there's a lot of fans out there, if I may use the word, in supporting Mueller's transformation.
I don't know whether you can call them fans. I think there are just a lot of people who want to see him succeed, or who are hoping to see him succeed, and perhaps giving him the benefit of doubt.
Yeah, and I think his success, of course, means the success of the national carrier.
Correct.
Which ultimately is what people are concerned about.
Yes.
So billions have been poured, of public money has been poured into the national carrier. And to what effect? Who's benefited from this? Who's lost out on it? Has it been essentially the public purse that has suffered? Of course, there, people have been kept in employment, but can you justify those billions spent to keep, you know, tens of thousands of people in jobs?
Right. So you can always join the conversation on Twitter at BFM Radio is our handle, or text us 016-201-9000. We've got a lot of questions pouring in, most of them to do with asking for the real reason that he's leaving. So a lot of the questions seem to be skeptical about his explanation that the cause of his leaving is personal. And I'm curious to know, I mean, for me personally, there's so many issues at stake here, not just the reasons why he's leaving, right?
Well, I look forward to this grill. I think everybody else is also. And of course, you know, he was meant to come on earlier and it didn't happen. And of course, that was then preceded by the announcement
of resignation. Yeah. Malaysia Airlines also in the news today. So it's quite a timely grill to have him on, because yesterday, Malaysia Airlines announced that it posted its first quarterly profit after years of reporting losses. Now, they posted a modest profit, 14 million ringgit for the period between January to March. But modest, you may call it, but it's still far ahead of the losses that they posted in the same quarter a year ago. So same quarter a year ago, Malaysia Airlines made losses of 450 million ringgit.
From negative 450 to positive 14. That's massive. Now, much of this is contributed by the low fuel prices. They've shed a lot of their staff, so a smaller number of employees contributed to lower cost, as well as capital reduction by 30%. So this is pushing costs down rather than pushing profits and revenue up. So I think that's why people are rallying behind Mueller. And perhaps, to use your word, Melissa, they want to see him succeed. Because at the very least, if he can't get revenues up, he can't push costs down.
But that's not sustainable, Ibrahim. Sorry to interrupt you, Shira, but that's not sustainable. Cutting costs is not the only way to generate a profit. The long-term sustainable way is to increase revenue, and that's the way to ensure Malaysia Airlines is on the right track.
And so a great business plan is what I think what people are looking for, more than a change in uniform or branding, right? They're looking for a real business plan that's
going
to work.
Oh yeah, they are going to change the uniforms.
And right? That's some of the questions that come in have to do with that. How much are these new uniforms going to cost, and is it just cosmetic? But very interesting, also in the news, Singapore Airlines are sharing common ancestry with Malaysian Airlines, because it came from the same airline at one point in time. It reported its full year net profit, that its full year net profit doubled to over 804 million Sing dollars.
That's about 2 billion or 3 billion ringgit, right? That's here and to put things into size, you know.
You know, well, I like that you brought that up, Sharad, because that is the competition for Malaysia Airlines. They should be looking at Singapore Airlines as the competition in the full service premium segment. They shouldn't be competing on a price war with Air Asia because it's a budget carrier. That is not the strategy of Malaysia Airlines. And yet, you do see reports or anecdotal reports that ticket prices of Malaysia Airlines rival that of Air Asia. What are they doing? They're not of the same kin.
Mm-hmm. They're not.
They're not the same blood type.
In fact, the source of funding for these two companies are also different. Because remember what we spoke of just now, the smaller number of employees, right? The cost of retrenchment of the staff comes from the 6 billion ringgit funds that was allocated by Khazanah. So MAS's profit or Malaysia Airlines' profit might not reflect the true cost of the restructuring exercise. So I guess, yeah, that's fantastic.
Okay, in other news, so just to reiterate again, Malaysia Airlines CEO Christoph Mueller on The Breakfast Grill in 15 minutes. Join the conversation on Twitter and on text. You can make sure you tune in for that. But Malaysia Airlines, not the only company in the news today. Of course, 1MDB still making headlines. The Wall Street Journal has reported that the US FBI is looking into Prime Minister Najib Razak's stepson, Riza Aziz's purchase of two luxury properties as part of its investigation into 1MDB. Now, investigators believe that at least $50 million originating from 1MDB was spent on properties in New York and Los Angeles.
So if the money was part of his legacy, you know, something that his parents left him, this is not an issue, right? The only question really is if the money came from sources that it shouldn't have come from. And, you know, so allegations about it coming from 1MDB. And then the question is, you know, because I think 1MDB has already denied that it has any involvement in Reza Aziz's, you know, film career. And projects. So we look forward to either this investigation clearing the air on that and finally to come to some conclusion.
So in relation to this, there's fresh charges that is brought forth against the ex-banker in the 1MDB case. The BSI wealth manager, ex-banker Yeo Jia-wei has now been charged of transferring $16 million US dollars from a unit within 1MDB. The money is said to have gone to a firm controlled by Joe Low. And right now, the SRC International, which is the company within 1MDB, is said to have leaked out that fund. And this brings to the total case of about seven charges already to Yeo Jia-wei.
Okay, so Singapore investigations into the 1MDB pro is really kind of heating up now. You've seen people getting charged and taken in and questioned. But I think it all kind of ties in. You know, in the UK at the moment, there is the Global Anti-Corruption Summit happening. So on a global level, we're talking about anti-corruption.
You know, there was that gaffe, the unguarded moment when David Cameron said of leaders coming to the summit, well, they're coming from countries that are fantastically corrupt, because you know, that's also
trending
on Twitter. But the question is, you know, and some of the responses to it, I think a senior Afghan official came out and said, well, that's an unfair characterization of his country. But global corruption indices actually don't support his case. Yeah. David Cameron perhaps was not very diplomatic, not you know, but he wasn't necessarily incorrect in saying that.
So it may have been unfair, but it's not untrue.
Yeah, so this Global Anti-Corruption Summit, a bunch of countries have signed it, but Malaysia doesn't seem to be one of the signatories. But one country that is clearly not part of the signatory is Bermuda. And in fact, they've taken a hard stance on protecting what they say is the private of their company.
Sure. So Bermuda is a tax haven, right? Right?
Yeah.
So really quite interesting to note why they refuse to sign it, because part of this is to agree to publish registers of who really owns companies in their territories, a so-called register of beneficial ownership. Here's Bermuda's Deputy Premier and Finance Minister Bob Richards.
Any information, any request from a competent authority of another country or for international law enforcement is the sort of people that we are more than willing to share that information with. As for having that information available to Tom, Dick, or Harry, We don't think so. It doesn't achieve anything. In any case, the information was garnered from people. We have a sort of a compact with our clients over the last 70 years that the information they give to the Bermuda Monetary Authority, which is the agency that keeps this information in Bermuda, there's a compact with the Bermuda Monetary Authority of confidentiality because it's none of anybody else's business.
You know, Bermuda behaves like a corporation, doesn't they? Don't they? I mean, they say that, you know, it's none of your business.
We don't have to tell you anything. Show us a warrant.
The question of privacy and the question of criminality, right? They're gray areas. And Singapore, you know, very famously also allegations against money being Indonesian money coming from corrupt sources or tax evasion being parked in that country. But, you know, the anti-corruption platform is so popular. Everybody is mouthing it. Duterte, who's just, you know, who's winning, as it were, the presidential elections in the Philippines, also on a very strong anti-corruption agenda. And that's something a lot of Filipinos, 25% of whom live under poverty, who'd like to see a resolution to endemic corruption in that country. Right, and so, and also the return of monies that was stolen by, you know, various leaders.
Okay, so just to reiterate again, the Global Anti-Corruption Summit is happening in the UK. And the hot topic there, of course, is tax havens and tax avoidance. But just to note that the next International Anti-Corruption Conference will take place in Panama.
Oh, how
at the
timely.
End of the year, how timely.
Perfect, it's perfect.
I agree.
I'm speaking about the weather in Panama.
No, it's sure. Also those gray areas where, you know, the difference between tax evasion and tax avoidance. You know, David Cameron himself caught up in his whirlpool because of a trust fund set up by his father. And again, you know, the question of how the rich behave, the rich, the super rich, the mega rich, how they behave in the world and how their behavior is affecting the lives of ordinary people who are just scraping by.
7:56 right now, RHB Group is still seeking to expand in regional markets, particularly into Indonesia. So they say that Indonesia is a priority in their overseas expansion plans.
You know, Indonesia has about 200 million or more in terms of consumer market. Datuk Khairul Saleh, the CEO or MD of RHB, says that Indonesia is important because they believe that the domestic commercial banking business there is going to be profitable for them. However, I would like to disagree because, you know, case studies have shown CIMB and Maybank still has issues in Indonesia. And this is because of the flip-flop kind of regulation coming in from the central bank. An example of the changing of policy in Indonesia was announced last month. On April 15th, Bank Indonesia, the central bank, says that they will now use a new method of influencing borrowing costs. They want to introduce a 7-day reverse repurchase or reverse repo, which is set at about 5.5%. This is different from the benchmark that they're using now.
But, you know, I see where they're coming from, Ibrahim. I mean, I see the appeal of the Indonesian market. How can you, if you want to be a regional player, ignore Indonesia? You have to get a foot in. It's the biggest market, especially for banks. Think about the unbanked in Indonesia, the opportunity there.
Yeah, but that's the thing. People, both Maybank and CIMB, went into Indonesia with that conventional wisdom. They thought that they could actually impose higher lending rates and so on, but they can't. Even this underbanked segment that you speak of, Melissa, they are still subjected to the commercial bank lending rate. And right now, this change of reverse repo puts pressure on commercial bank to push down lending rates. And when you push down lending rates, you're not going to make a lot of money.
Apple has lost its place as the world's most valuable public company already once this year, and now it's at risk of losing that position once again to Google. Apple fell behind Alphabet, which is the owner of Google search service, in terms of market value in yesterday's trade.
Guys, iPhone SE is on sale today.
I knew you were going to say that.
And 16 gig is going for 2,000 ringgit, 64 gig is 2,005. You can get it cheaper if you take mobile plans.
Okay, hold on a second. This headline, is it much less than it seems to be? Because, you know, Apple is still one of the big companies of the world.
Exactly.
Right? One of the biggest companies.
Exactly. So, boohoo, Apple is the second most valuable company around the world. They're still worth far more than some countries around the globe. It's coming up to 8 o'clock now. And just to note, once again, Christoph Mueller, the CEO of Malaysia Airlines, on The Breakfast Grill today. 016-201-9000 is the number to text or tweet us at BFM Radio. News is next. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.